Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm, if there's anyone your brother is safe with us on this island, it's Locke.
And welcome to the show. How are you doing, Action Jackson?
Great. I think I screwed up part of that, but my writing's hard to read, so.
You're a writer. As a writer. Be legible.
Well, I didn't type this out. Mm-hmm. I'm a slow writer, so I can't type fast, so I can't watch and take notes and stuff like that. But I think Kate called it when he told Shannon, look, if there's anyone on this island you should be hanging out with, Boone's hanging out with, it's Locke, because he'll be perfectly safe.
Well,
nothing will happen
to him. At the time, that seemed like a logical...
At the time, it was a logical thing. I mean, Locke had only hit him over the head and tied him up, but that's okay.
But see, that helped him. It gave him an experience that helped him let go of his sister.
Made him a Lockite.
Exactly. So it worked out in his favor.
He became a Locke disciple. He was like, I'm with Locke. I'm with Locke. I'm with Locke.
What's wrong with that?
Hey, nothing. Except, you know, well, I don't want to spoil anyone. Hadn't seen it. You'll find out in about three more episodes. Is that about right? What episode we're on now? We're on episode...
Well, let's see. We just we finished special.
So it's 16. So he finds out, right? Because we did 8, then 4.
Let's see here. I'll go back to the actual episode title numbers here.
All right. There you go.
But yeah, so you have a little while before we see what happens there.
It's time for me to fly. Set yourself free.
So yeah, we did special was where we finished number 14. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4. Five more episodes till that happens.
Five more episodes. Okay, so he's on a lot longer than I thought. But you know, nobody knows what I'm talking about.
But anywho. We had another great, I think, four episodes to look back on this week.
And looking back on special, it just wasn't going by what everything happened. Was it that special?
No, I think so. I mean, we'll get into it, but we had all the best cowboys have daddy issues, whatever the case may be.
Whatever the case may be, maybe.
Hearts and minds and special.
The future is ours, you see.
But
I'm in a singing mood. I'm not like you. I'm not a downer. I'm here to podcast. I'm here to have fun.
Yes, yes. Right now, if you like what we're doing, which,
yes.
If you like Colleen's bringing in these shirts that Jacob Parr, we just got him. He did this 10th anniversary shirt. They're very nice. They came in today. But she's distracting me as I'm trying to record. So,
yes.
listen to the Jay and Jack Plus podcast feed. For only $2.99 a month, you get all of our shows that produce. Right now we're doing Jay and Jack TV, The Married Man Show, Sports Talk with Three Super Guys, which also includes Walking Dead discussions.
Walking Dead, Shish Kebab.
And also Survivor with Jay and Jack. So if you like what we're doing here, check it out over at jayandjacktv.com. For the rest of the month of October, there's only about, 10 days left.
10 days, yep.
You can sign up for a penny for your first month, and it's $2.09 thereafter. So check it out over at jayandjacktv.com. Now that the business is out of the way, Jack, you ready to get into the last recap?
I'm so ready.
All right, here we go. Last recap. All right, it's last recap time. We had four new episodes to talk about. First being All the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues, which follows what happens thereafter when Claire gets kidnapped and Jack just can't let go and chases after Ethan. And uses Locke and Kate and Boone go along, but good old Michael is asked to go south. the room.
Yeah, we don't need your help.
But Jack encounters Ethan, has a showdown where Ethan, for some reason, is superhuman.
Superhuman. Or was just Jack tired from chasing after him?
Probably. Jack just gets in these fits of rage where he just can't let go.
Well, this is the episode where actually Locke was right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tells Jack to be quiet because Jack's making noise. Be quiet. And he also tells him, look, you're the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to, if someone gets sick, who's going to help him? You have to stay behind. But Jack doesn't listen. Locke was actually making sense in this episode. He was a tracker. His good friend Ethan had double-crossed him because Locke is a good judge of character. So but he was a tracker. You know, but was he wrong to tell Michael we don't need you?
I think he's just being very matter of fact.
Or is it just because the last time he went out with Michael, Michael got run over by a boar and kind of screwed up the whole thing?
So you're thinking that he's just Locke, that he's just kind of a nuisance, drags behind?
Just one of those guys that, you know, he wants to help, but you're like going, yeah, you're just going to slow us down. You're going to get hurt. We're going to have to take you back, and we're going to lose the trail. Maybe that had something to do with it?
I don't know. I think it was more just to set up the rift between Locke and Walt and what would show later in a special.
So you're saying lazy writing?
It's not lazy writing. I think it's just kind of setting up that battle between the two of them.
I agree. It does cause friction. But I mean, just what would be the reason behind Locke not wanting to take him? So you have to look back, okay, what had happened in the past. I'm saying it's not lazy writing because there was stuff in the past that happened.
Yeah. But again, I never said it was lazy writing. I know you're trying to say that I said that, but I didn't say that.
I was just asking a question. I didn't accuse you of anything. Okay. Don't be so sensitive.
I'm just saying.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Jack, as they go and they kind of eventually, it seems like Boone and Locke, they split.
See there's two separate trails.
Yes.
Or track. They're tracking. There's two separate. What do they say? I don't know. I'm not a tracker. There could be two paths that they're taking. And I think Locke wants to stay together, right?
He does.
And he goes, no, Kate Drack, she's good as you. I'll follow her.
Mm-hmm. Good old Jack.
And then Locke stays with and Boone stay together.
Yep. Match made in heaven.
Yep.
Literally, anywho. Yep. So Jack ends up following the right trail. Even though it's washed out, there's one left, and they follow along, and Ethan threatens to kill one of them if he doesn't stop chasing him.
Stop following me, or I'll kill one of them.
That's exactly what he sounded like.
I think it was spot on.
And we then have this incredibly emotional scene where Charlie is hanging among the trees, and he's brought down, and
I remember watching that for the first time, getting all teared up. And I'm like, don't kill. I like Charlie. Don't kill Charlie. No. I remember saying that.
Yep. I think we all were really emotional. No way. They're going to kill Charlie. No, no.
You don't kill off a main character on a TV show.
That's ridiculous.
That's rating suicide. You just don't do that.
But in the end, Jack does not give up, and I forgot how like much he did the CPR, and then even stopped, and then kept going.
Was it the island
that brought him back?
That brought back Charlie, or was it Jack?
I think you have to give it to Jack, but I'm surprised Charlie could breathe out of Jack, because he pounded the crap out of his chest.
Well, Kate had to cry, then she stopped, and then she goes, Jack, stop, stop, Jack, stop. Stop. And he goes, and he stops. He goes, no, I can't. Boom, pounds him again. I just don't think he liked Charlie. But you forgot about talking about how Walt and Sawyer are talking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going, yeah, Ethan wasn't his real name, stuff like that. And Walt says, tell Sawyer, lying about your name is stupid. I love that. That was a good scene. I liked it.
Boone and Locke kind of talk discover each other a little bit. We have an allusion to red shirts and what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, because you have Locke has never seen Star Trek.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what red shirt means. And later on, we learned red shirt means anyone carrying logs.
Yes. Lost. But even then, what happens to Boone eventually at the end of season one, it's definitely a bit of foreshadowing there.
Was he foreshadowing himself or was he foreshadowing Jack when he says he doesn't, because he was telling about Star Trek, the red shirt guy always goes down with Captain Kirk, the Doctor and stuff like that, and they always die.
You could say it's both.
Yeah, because, you know, Locke allegedly dies. I'm not going to spoil anyone. With Boone, I mean, Boone, you know, dies with, he follows Locke, but also a lot of people died following Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that just part about being a leader? People are going in war or something like this.
If you're going to be a leader, your friends will die.
Friends will die. I mean, it's just part of the deal.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I think it's more of, one, what's going to happen to Boone, and two, alluding to what you said in terms of, you know, the Doctor would go down, all this kind of stuff on the ship, and really it shouldn't have been that way.
No. McCoy should have never been going down to the anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But he always went. He was like Kate. He always went somewhere.
Damn it, I'm a doctor, not a doctor.
I mean, how much law school do you have to just wave that little pin? He's all better now, Jim.
You mean law school or?
Did I say law school?
Yeah, you said law school.
Well, medical school. Law school, it's pre-med, pre-law,
school,
same
medical
thing.
School, same thing.
Same thing.
Then they actually go on, and Boone's ready to give up and go back, and Locke just he feels like they're going towards something, and he senses something.
And he goes, here, take this flashlight. You'll need it more than I will. Mm-hmm. Clunk.
And we discover the hatch.
It's the beginning of the end for John Locke.
To a degree.
Discovering that hatch is his undoing.
Can be.
It finished him off.
We'll see as we look back on the entire series. Maybe it won't be.
Okay.
And then we have Charlie, who doesn't remember anything, so he's kind of useless.
I don't remember anything.
So that closed out the first half of the season because that aired December 8th, and then it took about a month hiatus.
Wow, can you imagine watching that from the live as it's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And what did they hit? What's going on? Where's Claire? How did Ethan beat up? What's going on?
Yeah, a lot of stuff. 18.888 million viewers.
Wow.
Then we go do whatever the case may be. It's return on January 5th, written by Damon Lindelof and Jennifer Johnson. And Kate.
JJ.
There you go. Kate finds the Marshall's locked case, and Kate does whatever she can.
Well, they were swimming. Case.
Yes.
This is a good scene.
Why is that?
I just like the waterfall. It's nice. I like to go swimming there, actually.
And then we have
I like how Sawyer sees the dead body and goes, I'll go down and see what's down there, see what they have.
And we also have another instance of somebody swimming with their jeans. I'm like, that sounds like the worst thing ever.
Yeah, that was a long running thing with us, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's because really they couldn't show him like just in his boxer shorts; it just wouldn't work on TV. But still, very uncomfortable.
Now Kate could go swimming without jeans.
Yeah,
and that's there's no issue there. But Sawyer,
that's where it's sexist. I'm sorry. Unacceptable.
Come on, he just can't. You know. No.
Then we have the kind of beginning of Shannon and Saeed's love relationship, trying to decipher Rousseau's maps. And
that is a good pickup line.
I need you to help me translate these maps.
I don't know anything about maps. Oh, okay.
I'll teach you.
Yeah. I am a torturer.
Come over to my tent. So it's a Halliburton case, which are impossible to pick no matter what.
Yeah, Michael was laughing.
Basically it shows how far Kate's just. She is a perplexing character, especially in this episode, where she feels like she has to lie, cheat, and steal just to get a plane, when if she just would have talked to Jack in the first place or the whole thing, it wouldn't have been that much of an issue. So why does she always feel like she has to
because that's what these people away. On the island do. Locke doesn't tell anybody about the hat she's found. Nobody, I mean, we can go through this whole series. Nobody communicates. Nobody. I mean, I don't get why she couldn't say, all right, Jack, there's something in there that there's some guns or there's some that there's a plane in there, a toy plane. Don't ask me why. It just means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. Something from my childhood I've always had. It means a lot to me. I don't know why she, unless she, well, eventually she tells Jack, you know, at the end, she says, it was my first love and I killed him or something to that effect. Maybe she didn't want to tell Jack she was in love before or something.
I guess. It's obvious she's just ashamed by it, and I get that.
But she didn't have to say that. Just say, yeah, there's something in there. There's a toy plane in there that means a lot to me. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get it.
Exactly. So then that leads to us really, I guess, getting a little bit more of a backstory in that flashback. And I guess we didn't talk about all the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues flashback. But Jack, we find out, you know, him selling out.
Selling out his dad, yeah.
But again, I kind of, once they talk about the baby, and I was like, kind of, that'd be tough. I'd probably, I'd say, hey, Jack was drunk.
Jack was drunk.
I can't trust him.
Trust him. He was drunk. Okay. But it's your dad.
I get it.
It's selling out. And you saw the look on his dad. It was like, kiddo.
But I think for him, when he saw that the dad was kind of taking advantage of him to a certain degree, it seemed like. Because when he was rubbing the other guy's shoulder, just like he did his, he's just, oh, he's just using me.
Right.
He felt that, like, he was being used and just trying to get out of trouble again. And didn't
right.
want to do that.
We forgot also Locke predicts rain.
He does. Such
now,
skills.
My theory was always that he doesn't have any hair, and the first drop hits him on the head, that he figures there's going to be more coming later on.
So you're saying that's a bald man advantage?
It's a bald man. Not many advantages, but that's one of them.
Yes.
You save on shampoo, and you can predict the rain. And Locke loves the rain.
Here comes the rain again.
Anyway.
So in Kate's flashback, she robs a bank to get the plane. Kind of a boring flashback, in my opinion. Not much in it.
It does show that Kate will manipulate anybody.
Yeah.
To get what she wants.
You see on the island, too.
Well, you see it. That's just her pattern. And I keep going back to the Marshal and her. Something happened more than what we ever saw. It's one of those unanswered questions we never got, probably only because I was complaining about it. But you can see that to get this toy plane, she was willing to risk all these lives to get the toy plane.
Yep.
It meant that much to her to get that.
But again, I think if you look at it, you see why people have frustrations with Kate, because that's kind of ridiculous.
It is, but she does have heart. I mean, she does care.
She cares weirdly, though. She'd rather shoot people and put people through these horrible experiences.
Well, she has trust. You'll see later on, she has trust issues. Her stepfather, or no, her was I'm sorry, her real
actual
father.
Father, yeah.
Actual father had she had issues with him. Her mom, she couldn't trust. She has trust. She doesn't trust. She has trust issues, and it's hard for her to, like, you know, if you're brought up a certain way and you're suddenly, if you don't trust people for 20, 25 years, you get screwed over left and right. Are you suddenly going to trust somebody? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to do what you're best at, manipulating people to get what you want? Mm-hmm. So that's what she did. So there. I do like that they digged up the Marshal for the key.
Yes. Gross.
And then Kate stole the key and Jack saw it.
Yep.
Kate.
That's a nice sleight of hand, Kate.
Yeah. You know, Kate, I turned in my father. Because he was drunk, and there came the key joke.
Yes, yes, your stupid key joke.
And Charlie talks to Rose.
Yep, and Rose kind of helps.
I mean, Rose talked with Charlie, mm-hmm. not Charlie Rose.
And
not the guy on PBS.
There's this, the end of this episode has the Shannon singing La Mer, right? I thought that was a nice little scene.
And Boone gives the look like, Boone gives the jealous look towards Saeed.
Yes, he does. Which sets up Boone's flashback episode, Hearts and Minds.
Yep.
So Shannon and Saeed seem to get closer, and Boone doesn't like it. No. Boone has kind of, seems like an unhealthy, I don't know, relationship with his sister. And Locke and Boone, this is also, there's a lot of Locke in this episode as well, but we see what they're digging up, which kind of gives us our first good look at the hatch.
Yeah, they've been staring at it for 2 days, and Boone's like, why don't we tell people? Why don't we just, because I think Boone has that, he'd rather tell people what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He'd like to communicate. He's like the, I think that's why he had to be killed off. Because he was really, that's what he should, they should have told everybody, hey, look. But even says to he says to Boone, "Don't get Saeed upset. We're going to need him on our side."
Mm-hmm.
So already Locke's planning to have this mutiny.
That's not a mutiny. It's just getting enough people on his side so that, you know, people aren't against whatever it is that he wants to do.
Again.
But that's politics, man. You gotta have people on your side. You can't just throw something out there willy nilly without having a good idea of where.
Why don't you go to the guy that you told to be the leader and say, hey, this is what we found. You don't think that's a good idea?
No.
You'd rather keep it a secret?
No, it makes, I know you like to try and slam Locke.
I'm not slamming Locke. It makes for good television.
But right? It makes more, I see Locke's side of this.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm on the island with Locke and he's keeping information from me, I'm never going to trust him.
I don't know.
That's just me. I'm just saying that if we're on an island together, you find something.
That's when you set it up. You don't say, I found it 8 years ago. You say, I just found this thing. What do you think? Then they don't know that you've been sitting on this for weeks.
But obviously, okay, everyone's noticed. You keep going out looking for boar. You come out without boar. You come out without nothing.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense because if you, like he said, if you're hunting for boar and then if they're smart animals, they'll migrate, which would happen.
All right. Okay.
See, the problem is that you're so anti-Locke is that you're kind of, you're skewing it.
I'm anti-people that don't communicate. All these people drive me crazy because they don't communicate. They don't discuss. I'd be more like Boone. Hey, why don't we get the group leaders in here, the Saeeds, the Jacks, Kate, everybody, and figure out what we're all going to do together to figure out if this is good for the group.
Yeah, but I think he wanted control over it.
Well, exactly, he wanted control over it. That's why he didn't tell anybody.
I know, but again, I kind of see his side.
Because that's you.
So in Boone's flashback,
I'm all about live together, die alone.
Wait, so you want to live together then and die alone? You want to do both?
Sure, why not?
In the flashbacks, we found out that Boone's sister is not actually related to him. And I love how they said, like, oh, so there's no familial relations.
Yeah.
You're not blood relatives.
Not blood relatives.
So when we have you having sex later, it's not going to be that weird.
No. Well, I put Shannon and Boone make a baby.
Yes, and that. Now, this wasn't where you originally got that theory, but I know it was your theory in season two of the show, our first.
Well, it's what led to the theory, obviously, because there was proof that they did have relations.
Yeah.
And so whatever, there was something else that happened. I said, bet she was pregnant. I can't remember what it was, but that's what it was.
But again, this episode doesn't make you like Shannon anymore. Then you didn't like her already.
No, she's not very nice. But she knows. But you can see how happy she is with Saeed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So Locke, which I know he hit him on the head. I think he did a good thing for him, though, because he had that kind of unhealthy obsession with his sister.
All right. When you come over to record tomorrow, I'm going to hit you over the head because you have this unhealthy obsession with Locke. I'm going to tie you up, have the knife there.
So he helps him have this experience.
Now, did he give him the same similar experience that Locke had? Because Locke lost the use of his legs, and Locke trained himself and was able to go on I've drawn a blank on it. It's the name of the episode. A walkabout.
Mm-hmm.
And thought he could do it. There's no limitations. So was he telling, almost telling Boone, look, there's no limitations. Get over your obsession with your sister. Move on. Things are holding you back. Was Locke basically doing the same thing to Boone? Because Boone was restricted the way he tied him down, and Locke in a way was restricted. You know, at least people thought he was, you know, wasn't able to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just grasping for straws. I didn't know if
it seems like it.
You don't see any similarity to tying him down like that?
I guess so. I guess. We have an emotional scene, another kind of pull the football out from Charlie Brown. You think another character is going to die, but in fact, didn't. The monster takes him, and it was really kind of a pretty close look at the monster, I guess, in a sense that it seemed very mechanical in the sounds and stuff like that, and picked up. But it was also, for a long time, could we really take that as true, or was it all just the vision in Boone's head? Or did
I think it was the vision in Boone's head, combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's just a vision, but some will argue that it was actually happening and actually real.
Well, I just, there's certain parts of it. But so Boone is upset at Locke, tackles him, and says, "Why you kill my sister?" Well, she's right there.
You mean your sister was Saida with her having a good time?
Yeah. So that is Hearts and Minds. What'd you think of that episode, looking back on it?
Yeah, I thought it was a good episode. It's a good episode because it has your main character, has Hurley, you know, it has the funny scene with Hurley and Jen. You know, and you start seeing a softer side of Jen. This is where, because we used to think Jen was, remember, nobody liked Jen, thought he was a jerk. But slowly he starts showing that there is a better side to Jen. He's not that jerk guy. Mm-hmm. Him and Son seem to be a lot better. Don't we also find out that Kate, is this the episode? Oh, yeah, Kate.
Yeah, Kate finds out that,
you know, her, that Michael already knows too. Why doesn't your husband know? It's complicated. And we don't want to.
Have you ever lied to someone you love, which you found in the previous episode? Well, I would guess so. Since she killed the person she loved? Is that similar?
Maybe. Maybe. But John and Jack talk. Mm-hmm. It was a nice conversation. I don't think Jack, but Jack doesn't trust.
He's leery.
He's leery of him. Mm-hmm. He's leery of him. So is it the next one we find out where he talks to Charlie? No, yeah, he asked, and Charlie said, "There's no one on this island I would trust more than John Locke."
Yep.
And then we find out the compass does, because Locke gives Saeed the compass. Yeah, I don't need it anymore because Locke knows it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So there was a lot in this episode.
There is a lot.
That did pay. And, you know, of course, you have the hatch they're looking at. They can't, you know,
there's a great description or story from Locke, or Locke anecdote, if you will, where he talks about Michelangelo in staring at this block of marble.
Right.
And then making the Statue of David, which is really cool.
Well, Locke likes to analyze things. Mm-hmm. That's when Locke is smart. When he's got a job to do, and his obsession is now getting into that hatch. Of course, it is his downfall. His downfall was inside the hatch. Not so much the hatch itself. Would you agree with that?
Just the obsession of it, and then feeling like that was going to be the answer to all of his questions.
Right, and when it didn't happen, you know, he kind of went off kilter.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, he's, you know, he's looking out in the ocean. He goes, "I'm, you know, looking for a ship." Jack goes, "You're looking for a ship? I'm patient. I can wait." Because Locke doesn't want to get off the island. Locke loves the island.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. All right. And last but not least is Special, the Michael and Walt episode. We got plenty of Walt!
Walt! That's my son.
Walt!
That's my son. My son.
Walt!
But, you know, this episode does show why he had such an, you know, he kind of, I always say he got screwed on the deal.
What, this, both of that's, because Luke, Walt grew up too fast, or the, David Kelly?
You know, Susan left him, you know, Susan, and took his son. You can see he's all geared up to be a father.
Yep. Well, is he really, though? Because he wasn't able to hold a job or anything like that. So I'm sure that added to stress in their relationship.
I'm sure it did. But, you know, he wanted to be an art. You know, his job would be art. He did say he did construction.
But when they kind of broke up, he didn't work in months.
That's true. Well, construction can be, you know, hit or miss.
It is. It's hot and cold. Again, I agree. The always kind of seemed a bit off.
Right.
Like, eerily off on why she didn't want.
Plus, also she, he sent her the, he sent Walt, you know, art drawings and stuff like that, and she never showed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. So there was something there that she didn't, she didn't want Walt to be around. Maybe it just, Michael was a dreamer. Michael was maybe not committed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's more to the story that we never really got.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's true.
We find out Boone's not a fighter, though.
Well, yeah.
We find that all the episodes, I guess, we find out. Boone's, you know, threatening Saeed.
Mm-hmm.
We forgot to talk about that. Come on, Boone.
You're not going to win.
Later on, I see the guy snap someone's neck with his feet.
That's so, right. That was season three, the end of season three?
Yeah, I think so. So Boone, hey, buddy.
Back off.
Just back off, because you tackle Michael. Michael flips you back over. I think it's this episode, right, where he flips him back over. And
yep.
It's Boone. Dude.
I like how Boone just is. They kind of even reference him as Locke's lapdog, which is fun.
Yeah. Which he was.
Yeah. But in the flashbacks, we find that there's something interesting or special about Walt. He
doesn't like birds.
Or just there's something. Yeah, there's something going on where he has some type of psychic powers, it seems like. Because he's also reading Hurley's comic book, and a polar bear comes after him. And Michael does not like Locke, and he's definitely hard on him. But Locke and Michael come together to save his son from the polar bear. Some big things in this. Michael wants to build a raft to get off the island. And nobody else seems to really be bought into that so much.
But he was the first one to, I think he was right.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, hey, we got to get out. Why don't we just talk about surviving? Let's get off this island.
Mm-hmm.
You think more people would have been saying, hey, because we have an axe, we have
that's
wood.
That's dangerous, though. If they're alive, at least, going out on a raft when you don't know where you are at all, that's dangerous. I mean, it's more than likely you're going to die on that raft.
Well, it worked for Tom Hanks. He lost his best friend, but yet he still survived.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think eventually you would get tired. There's two things. Either you build for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And you have son who's starting a garden. She's at least there's people doing things to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could do both, but you could build a nice raft.
It's dangerous. I mean, I see the other side.
So you're saying you wouldn't build a raft to try to get off the island? What if you just went out a few miles, scanned around, see if there's anything else around?
That's why I would probably do something like that. Just some way to, again, yeah, go, to your point, scan the perimeter.
Or go around the island.
Mm-hmm.
Just see what else is around the island.
Something like that would make sense to me. But trying to, say, get off the island.
No, because going in the deep sea, I mean, the ocean is obviously a large body of water, so and you could go miles and miles and miles without finding anything. So yeah, it would be risky. But building something to go around the island, I would have no problem with that.
Well, there you go. And at the end of this episode, Claire comes back after Charlie reads Claire's diary because he's a scum. He knows.
Talking about
Black Walt. Black Rock.
Black Rock. Well, Locke is blowing his dog whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire heard it.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, you know, they're calling for Vincent. And Boone goes, Vincent, is that you?
Mm-hmm.
But Vincent doesn't answer.
So I guess
it wasn't him.
There are episodes. Now, you mentioned earlier that you think this one wasn't important in the scheme of things. I disagree.
Well, as far as the whole, it does, you know, Michael's obsession of getting off the island. I think they had this plan saying, okay, we need to somehow, this kid's going to grow. I think this is maybe when they started thinking probably ahead, going, okay, this kid's going to grow. How are we going to explain his growth spurts? All right. I think this was their end game to get him off the island.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I mean, yeah. I get that. I get that side of it. But I just think overall, because even then in the end, if you go to the epilogue, Walt was important. Unfortunately, he grew too fast, so they couldn't fill out the storyline the way they wanted to. But in the scheme of things, I think it was still an important overall episode because Walt, I think, was intended to be far more utilized than he ended up being. And that was, you know, from a not lazy writing standpoint. And
no.
So that's why I think it still is important because Walt was asked to still come back to the island and we could possibly assume take over as guardian of the island.
I think that's what we all eventually believe. I mean, mm-hmm. I think we believe that eventually that's what happened.
Yeah. So that's where it would make sense to me in terms of the episode's importance overall.
Yeah, just because maybe Michael wasn't as important to the grand scheme of Lost.
Yeah, to me, Michael isn't that important to the grand scheme of Lost. Other than, you know, he's Walt's father and protector, but there's not much there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look through my notes to see if there's anything else that was important. I can't really find anything. It's funny. I said nothing, but I took 3 pages of notes.
All right, well. It is now time to get into the top 5 pivotal moments from these 4 episodes. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go. The first one, finding the hatch. To your point, you say this is the beginning of the end for John Locke.
It is, because it just leads to his obsession. And it just takes him down, with his famous line, "I was wrong." It's his obsession. He had so much faith in the island. It destroyed his faith. I mean, it was the end.
But he ended up being right in the end about the island. And vindicated to Jack.
Sure.
He did. It's in the show.
Okay, I believe you.
Number 2 is Kate's plane and the significance of it. Becomes a thread for her, pretty major, through season 1, where we find out the man that she loved and the broken heart, and one of the big, I guess you could say, big things in why she's so jaded and has to have love triangles all the time anyway.
Yes, goes to that plane.
Number 3, Michael wants to build a raft.
That's a major thing, yeah.
Major, major thing. Closes out season 1.
And the people that ended up helping him, mm-hmm. like Jen and Sawyer, the 3 guys that probably didn't really get along too well.
Mm-hmm. And they
came together to build the raft.
And how that leads to what happens in season 2, what happens with the Taileys, a lot of stuff.
Right.
For Michael wanting to build a raft. Number 4, Walt's special powers.
I believe he had them.
I think so. I think
Locke knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's what Michael was upset about, because Locke knew more about Michael. I'm saying Locke knew more about Walt in the 5, 6, 7 days or however long they were on the island than Michael knew. It's his son. Not really, not all his fault. But Locke took the time to listen to him. You know, he listened to how, you know, what he said. And obviously they had long, deep conversations because Locke knew a lot about Walt. Like when he's teaching him how to throw the knife, he said, mm-hmm. just visualize yourself, you know, visualize it sticking in the tree and it'll stick in the tree. Mm-hmm. And it did.
Yeah. In your mind's eye.
Your mind's eye. And so that's what I think. But that there was Locke. That's where Locke was the best at. He knew how to read some people, mm-hmm. when he was staying in his game. When he got off his game, he didn't. Just plain and simple. A lot of people do that. You don't stick to what you're good at, and you get thrown off your game. But I think that's where Michael's, because you've seen his flashback. He's just, you know, when he's talking to Susan, no, I'm going to marry this. I'm marrying Brian, and I don't want you to, you know, we're going to have him die. And he gets mad, and he walks out in the street, gets hit by the car.
Mm-hmm.
A car that we see more than once.
Yes, it might be, and I want some friggin' answers.
Yeah, okay. I shall stop then.
So then, number five for top five pivotal moments, Claire returns.
And she looks haggard. Looks like she's had a rough time.
A little bit. She looks like Charlie trying to sell copiers.
I forgot about that. Okay.
But Claire returns, but she has, I guess that's the next episode, so I won't get into that too much, but closes out these episodes. All right, now it is time for I Want Some Friggin' Answers.
You're losing your voice over there?
No, I'm trying. It's just when you do it, I guess maybe I'm losing my voice. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm old.
Actually, a lot of people are praying for that.
Man, come on. That's just mean.
I know. I feel bad.
So, first up, I think we have it. Who is the Hurley Bird? Who's the Hurley Bird? I think we hear the Hurley Bird for the first time in All the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
Also heard Claire screaming a little bit. So, do we have an answer to who is or who is the Hurley Bird or who or what?
Yeah, what was the Hurley Bird? We see that. What, don't we see the Hurley Bird?
We do. We do see the Hurley Bird, but we never quite get an explanation for it, I don't think.
Well, there was a thing there for the longest time that we never see birds. Was that a big thing for people going around there? And
yeah. But again, it's an island, so things.
Yeah, why would a bird be on an island?
Well, because it depends. It depends, like, how isolated it is.
Jacob
does environments. What's the?
Well, two people don't like birds: Walt and Jacob. Walt kills them, and Jacob just doesn't like them, so that he doesn't bring birds to the island.
All right, next question. So we're gonna say that one was not answered.
It's just
a bird.
It's just a bird. Hurley talks about it, right?
Yeah.
Episode did say my name, right?
Yep.
Did that bird say my name?
So that's the kind of, it's a bit of a running joke, kind of a Scott and Steve kind of deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I guess it's I think it might just be more of a fun aside for Damon and Carlton. All right, what is inside the hatch?
We eventually find out what's inside the hatch.
We do. What is inside the hatch?
I don't remember being so obsessed with the hatch when they found it.
I was like, well, I guess not. I guess I wasn't. That wasn't my driving force watching the show. But I was like, I wonder what's in it.
I was wondering what was okay with that. For me, I said, hey, Locke and Boone, just go around the side. There's a door on the other side. You just walk around. You don't have to spend all this time trying to dig it up. Just walk around. There's a door there. And I turned out to be right.
It's true.
In fact, I think I said there's got to be some kind of door leading into this thing.
Mm-hmm. There's always a back entrance.
There's always a back entrance. I think by law, you have to have another way out. Mm-hmm. Fire marshal will get upset.
It's true. That's code. That's standard
code.
It is
standard code. It has to remain locked at all times. Unless, of course, you're in North Carolina. Because half the doors are locked.
But yes, Desmond David Hume is who's in the hatch.
Brother.
All right, next one. This one kind of seemed interesting to me. Remember the tide changing so quickly. Did the island bloop away that time? That's why things seem to shift all of a sudden.
Oh, that's a great theory.
That's what I was thinking. Possibly.
Now, why would it have? What would have made it at that point blipped? Bloop.
I guess you would have had to have turned the donkey wheel, right?
Right, but who turned it?
Who knows? Who knows?
Was someone getting close to the coordinates or finding the
finding it?
And they had to move it. They didn't want. Never thought about that. I don't think we ever talked about that, did we?
No, I don't think so.
You came up with this of your own?
Yeah, I did.
Wow! Give yourself a fake gold flaky star.
Yay! So we don't really have an answer to that, but it's just a question that came up to me when
I never even thought about that, but I remember I wrote down the tide pulls everything into the because weren't there different theories about there being a tsunami or something hitting that area? I'm trying to remember all the theories that people had back then. There were so many of them, but I think that was one of them.
So, next one. Why was the plane in a safe deposit box? That's when I was like, why was it in a safe deposit box?
Because you want to keep it safe.
But she didn't put it there. It wasn't her safe deposit box.
Well, it was in a lunchbox, right?
Well, originally it was in a lunchbox, but here it was just the plane.
Well, her husband, her lover, the guy she was in love with, put it in there, right?
Who? The one she was scamming the bank for?
No, the guy that she...
Well, no, because... No, I think that was... It was in the car when she crashed it and got killed.
Yeah, why was it in the safe deposit box? We never found out, did we?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Did Jacob open up a safe deposit box?
Could have.
And get Kate to do these things so she'd be worthy to come take over the island?
Hey, that could be. That could be.
Okay.
All right, next one. So I guess we don't really have an answer for that one.
I didn't even think about that, but you got your A game going right now.
Hey, see?
I take back all those nasty things I was thinking about you during this whole podcast. I take it back. And now I feel bad.
I feel like
I should go catch a fish or pee on your foot if you step on a sea urchin.
Need to pee on my foot.
Pee on my foot. Pee on my foot. Pee on my foot.
So funny.
I'm going to lose my foot.
Why is there magnetic anomalies with... You mentioned the compass and how it wasn't working properly.
Right.
So why is there these magnetic anomalies?
What's what makes the island tick?
Yeah, it's true. What it is the essence of the island itself. It's what gives it its powers.
It's what gives it its yellow glow.
But I mean, it's arguably it's what, you know, helped Walk Lock again. It's what helped.
Could have saved Charlie. We don't know.
Also, I
always thought it was the island that saved Charlie. The island wasn't done with him yet.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so, in terms of him hanging in the tree?
Yeah, I always believed that the island saved him, not Jack.
Yeah, so there's definitely powers associated with.
I mean, Jack needed a win. At that point, he obviously felt guilty for Claire not listening to him. I'm sorry, her. He was having a bad day, so the island said, "You know what? Jack needs a win. Mm-hmm. We're gonna save him." Now, do we ever find out that it was Ethan? How did Ethan carry two people away? Or did he have
help? That's been the theory for a long time. And we never know for sure. And that's a big debate.
I mean, it was never answered.
Mm-mm. And watch, somebody's going to be like, oh, it was answered in. But no, I don't think that was ever answered.
I don't think it was ever answered. I don't believe it was ever answered.
Yeah.
It might have been theorized. But I don't think it was ever answered. If it was, then remember Jay's the one that said it did.
Was there someone, Jacob, driving the gold Bonneville that hit Michael and was involved in many other
scenes? Well, Jacob didn't cause accident. He didn't.
Nadia getting killed. He was part of that.
Yeah, all of a sudden I'm on video. How'd that happen?
Well, he must have hit something.
I must have hit something. I'm recording myself talking. No, I don't think he was the one driving it.
Well, I think he may have.
Would Jacob do something like that? Jacob did some bad things, but I think Jacob, he might have set it up. Because there's a few more scenes where that happens, where we see the Bonneville. So does Jacob have a license? I mean, is there a driver's ed school on the island?
I guess he could come with a fake one, right? Because remember, Michael had all those, not Michael, Ben Linus had all those fake IDs and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. Or maybe it was Ben Linus that did it.
Maybe.
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know.
There you go. Let's see.
I thought someone had a screen cap once of someone who was in the car, didn't they?
I don't know. I don't know if we. I know we had a lot of screen caps of the gold Bonneville, but I don't know if we ever got a clear picture of who was driving the gold Bonneville.
It was probably Walt.
Went back in time.
Yeah, went back in time.
Oh boy!
Stop telling me who I can hang out with,
Dad.
You know, kids. They're just. You know, at a certain age. Okay, I was a bad kid. I should have listened more.
Did Walt make the bird kill itself?
I think he did.
It's pretty messed up.
He's reading a book about birds. Mm-hmm. They're not paying, you know, he's trying to get Brian's attention, but Brian's, you know, for some reason concerned about his wife, not feeling well, you know, not paying attention to the kid. And the bird flies into the window, and Brian just looks, and I think he's done it before because Brian's actually physically, he's afraid of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why Brian wanted to give him up, like, almost immediately.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, she always wanted you to have him, Susan. Her dying wish was...
You know, she told me on a deathbed, she wants you to have him.
You know, even though you've had no contact, she doesn't share the letters with you and just ignores you, but she pays your medical bills. You know... He should be with his father, you know, and, you know, me being a great guy, you know, love the kid, but, you know, anyway, I like how he goes, I never wanted to be a father. You adopted him. Well, you know, I kind of had
wanted to get in her pants. And yeah. You know, the way she let me.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? Anyway, I think he was afraid of him. And it was obvious,
mm-hmm.
and that scene showed that he was afraid of him. Like I said, I don't think Walt meant to kill the bird.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just thinking bird, and the bird flies into a window because I think his powers are drawing the bird to him.
Yeah,
and the bird flies into a window because that's what birds do, and couldn't see it, and boom, hit the window. Kind of like throwing the knife. He envisioned the knife going into the tree and boom, hits the tree. And then he's thinking bird. The bird gets summoned and he comes flying into a window. Is it dead? Yeah, I think it is. Anyway.
Yep. And did he get the polar bear to come after him? Because he was reading the comic book with the polar bear.
I think it's the same thing. The bird, he thought about the bird. The bird came towards him. He thought about the polar bear. And the polar bear came towards him.
Yep. I agree. So I think both of these things have been answered. I think it was him.
Right. I think Walt, Michael saved Walt's life by just throwing that comic book into the fire. Which was kind of a mean thing to do.
It was. That was kind of
It's not like you can go down to the local comic book store and buy another comic book.
Well, you know, it's what fathers do.
Yeah. Jerks. You do things on spur of the moment. I like how he threatened to kill John Locke.
Yes.
Yeah, Boone threatened to kill people.
My son again. I'll kill you.
I don't think Michael could kill Locke. It's not as bad as Boone's threatening Saeed. Mm-hmm. But I think Locke would get the better of Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Just saying. I mean, hashtag.
In a knife fight, who's gonna win?
Locke.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Anyway.
There you go. And let's see, I think, was Claire taken to the Black Rock? It was in her dream.
No.
Exactly. She was taken to the medical hatch.
Medical hatch that was a secret for everybody.
That was another one of those secrets that nobody said.
They didn't even tell Jack. Right?
No, you're right.
No. Because why would you tell the doctor... about the medical hatch. I think Kate was one that didn't tell him, right?
Yep, I think so. Because Kate was there.
Yeah. It was Kate.
Son.
Son and...
Claire.
Kate, yes. Kate, son, and Claire.
And Rousseau, I believe.
Rousseau, right. Knew about the medical hatch and didn't tell Jack.
So how did Claire get back?
Well, we find out.
Do you remember
how? With Rousseau and Alex. No, help with Rousseau.
Exactly. Rousseau kind of wandered away. I mean, Rousseau helped Claire get away. He was drugged at the time, but helped Claire get away.
Rousseau did a good thing.
She did. She did. So there you go. So that is it for Want Some Friggin' Answers.
There you go.
All right. You ready to get into some Next on Lost?
The TV show.
All right, here we go.
Next on Lost, the TV show. But maybe it's next week, maybe it's in a couple days. 'Cause next on Lost, Lost, Lost.
It's next on Lost Time. Next time on Lost, we are going to be having another guest podcaster on. As of now, I guess we do not have that solidly locked down, but it will be somebody.
Somebody.
Which is important. And the next set of episodes, we'll be doing Homecoming, Outlaws, In Translation, and Numbers, which will be a lot of fun. So that is what's happening next on Lost. All right, Action Jackson, you ready to get into some listener feedback?
I am.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
Hey, Jay and Jack, it's Daniel from Virginia. I'm really loving the new season of the Lost podcast. It's been great to hear some new episodes. My fiance and I have been doing a rewatch. Well, I've been doing a rewatch, and she's actually watching Lost for the first time. And it's actually been great to go back and listen to some of y'all's old episodes with her, and she can kind of hear y'all's first reactions at the same time as she's getting her first reactions to the show. And it's now been great for me then to have a new season with y'all, too. I'm calling because I have a crackpot theory. I don't know if it's been said on the show before or not, but last week or so, y'all were talking about Richard Malcolm and whether or not the psychic in Claire's episode, Raised by Another, whether or not he knew if the plane was going to crash or not. And so my theory is that he was a fraud. And in season two, he tells Mr. Echo that he's a fraud and he's never told the truth about this. And I think that is true. The reason that he knew that Claire needed to get on the plane was because Jacob was involved. Now, we know that Jacob has, it seems, resurrected people before. And we know in season six with Dojin, that Dojin's son was dying or had died, and Jacob came to him and made him an offer that he would save his son if Dojin came to the island and served Jacob. And so my theory is that Richard Malcolm's daughter actually did drown and died, and that Jacob came to Richard Malcolm and said that he would save his daughter if he somehow found a way, if Richard Malcolm somehow found a way to get Claire on Oceanic Flight 815. And so that's how I think he didn't know it was going to crash or not. He just knew that he had to do that to save his daughter. And so that is my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you guys so much. Love the show.
All right. Thank you for the call.
You know, that is a great theory. But didn't he get to keep seeing his daughter?
Right? I think so, yeah.
I mean, old Dojin guy was a baseball.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, that's kind of a bum deal. I mean, I guess if you work a better deal.
Yeah, I guess if you know how to negotiate.
Right. Maybe Dojin said, all right, I'll just bring him back to life. All I want is that baseball.
Oh, you mean I could have had more?
I took what was behind door number two. Oh, I hate when I do that. But that's a great theory.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, he said he was a fraud, but I think if, you know, Claire was obviously directed to that plane. He said you have to be on that plane. Well, we'll find out later on when we see it. You have to be on the, no, it's this plane, right? You have to be on this plane right here, on this plane with all these other people. So I can't argue with it.
There you go.
It's one of those theories that can't be unproven, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right.
But I like it.
We got a couple emails here. First one to Daniel. Hey, guys. Listen to your podcast way back when it first came out. Heard you guys are doing a reunion, so I'm happy to say I'm resubscribed. Here's some Lost tribute you guys might like. We have to go back, Lost After 10 Years. That's on matttory.com/2004/09/30/lost. And Astray, an on-location spoof of the series directed by the writer of the blog. I'm Jack's spoofed character in the parody. The extent of weird things that happen on Island boiled down to the disappearance of Jack's beard. And you can find that on YouTube. Astray. Longtime fan, first time re-listener.
Nicely done. I'm a re-podcaster.
There you go.
Right.
And this next email is from Brian. Hey, Jay and Jack. It sounded.
Wait.
Sorry.
The guy from this special episode?
No. What?
Wasn't that Brian?
Not that Brian. No,
because I don't want to listen to you guys anymore. You scare me.
This is his old listener. I remember this name, Tommy the Duck.
I remember Tommy the Duck.
Hey, Jane Jack. It sounded awful lot like sarcasm the way you and Ralph were praising the new man in charge. You praise it so much, but I have a hard time believing that you actually liked it. I watched it once when I got the DVDs, and never again. Wow. I absolutely hated it.
Well, that was Ralph's famous theory, right?
What?
Well, he thought it was a flash.
No, you're thinking it's the new man in charge is the epilogue.
Oh, okay. No, I liked it because it gave me some answers.
It gave me
some friggin' answers.
This epilogue is the exact opposite of everything Lost stood for. It's so blatant and beats you over the head obvious that I consider it an insult to the intelligence of the Lost fan base. This epilogue was written for the sole purpose of pleasing the lowest common denominator, the people who believe that they were dead the whole time, the heroes of your, if you will. Wow.
All right. Let me rephrase what I said earlier. I hated it because I'm not one of those people.
Loving the new show, and it was great to hear Ralph again. Tommy the Duck. P.S. Can you tell me where to find the old Scott and Steve podcast? I loved the Lost Initiative with Kim and Amy, but came in too late to the podcast scene to hear the Scott and Steve cast. I'd love to hear them.
If you go back and watch the epilogue again, at the very end. Well, actually, I'm not going to tell you that. If you go, it's somewhere hidden in the clues. You got to, you know, it wasn't all just hitting you over the head. There's a little clue in there that tells you where to find their podcast.
Yes. Yes.
No. I think they have a blog spot still, don't they? You can just find Scott and Steve blog spot.
Well, the blog spot is there, but I don't think the shows are hosted or anything over there.
Oh, they're not?
ScottandSteve.blogspot.com is their old blog that still runs, and they still post over there. So Kim and Amy still run that.
Well, how would you just let me Google it right now? Let me find it real quick. Just continue talking, Jay.
Okay, I didn't know if you had it right away. But yes, as far as finding those, I have them personally in my collection. I know other people do too. But it's a good question. We should try and find a way to get those posted up somewhere as people listen, because they're hilarious. The Scott and Steve podcasts were fantastic. I like the epilogue. I wasn't being facetious or putting too much sarcasm on over it. I did actually really enjoy the epilogue.
I liked it because it did give me some answers to some of the – not that some of the clues. Let's see. Make your own kind of music, Scott and Steve. Yeah, if you Google Scott and Steve blogspot.com, it's under Scott and Steve .blogspot.com. Make your own kind of music. Let's see if they have. It has archives there, some blog archives. So maybe there's some.
Yeah, the post shows aren't there, I don't think. But either way, we'll try and figure that out for you, Tommy the Duck.
Tommy the Duck.
Tommy the Duck.
Again, I think if you check the epilogue one more time, it does have the Scott and Steve. Podcast links there.
Well, it is now time to close out the show with our favorite segment, the Lost Pod, not the Lost Podcast, the Crack Jack's Crackpot Theory. Jack's Crackpot Theory of the Week that cannot be disproven. Are you ready, Jack?
I'm ready. Hey, they even have us listed on here. The Lost Podcast with Jane Jack. It says links, Lost Podcast with Jane. Let's see. Wait, hold on a second.
What?
I'm checking to see if they have the links there to their. That's different podcasts here. App listeners. If you go on the site, maybe you can find it, because there's some different stuff here. Anyway, I'm losing my attention here. Okay. All right. Okay. My crackpot theory is.
Yes.
That when they're tracking, looking for Ethan, mm-hmm. they find two separate trails, right?
Mm-hmm.
They find Charlie's leaving his little things he has on his fingers that he handwrote. Mm-hmm. Was it late?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He's dropping little clues there.
Yep, little breadcrumbs.
Locke goes the other way and finds the hatch.
Mm-hmm.
I think either Jacob or Man in Black made the other trail to get Locke to go find that hatch.
Ooh. Could you pick one? Because I feel like you should pick one.
I've been trying to figure it out. Who benefited from Locke the most?
I think Man in Black.
Man in Black benefited Locke the most, and the downfall of Locke was... But Jacob was the worst player. So,
oh man,
would Man in Black have to do it, or would Jacob? You know, Jacob going, "I'm going to win this game." Would he drag him to the hatch? One of them did it.
I think Man in Black.
So, but my first thought was Man in Black. So I'm going to stick with Man in Black because I think Man in Black did it to get. He knew, but he didn't really know of Locke's backstory though. Well, he did scan him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of the, as far as we know, one of the earliest encounters that the Smoke Monster had.
And that's what the smoke monster figured. Hey, the monster figured he had him. He had him and he could use him to his advantage. So I'm going to say that Man in Black made the path for Locke to follow to find the hatch. And that's my crackpot theory. And I'm sticking to it because that was the others. But I'm not buying the others. Because Locke was too good of a tracker not to keep. Because it just seemed like that's where they ended up. Right? I mean, he kind of lost the trail or something like that.
Yeah.
It started to rain, so he lost the trail. So that's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. All right, guys, that is it for this week's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. We'll see you guys next week. Give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
Again, it's 206-309-0311. Calling time for questions, comments, and or theories. Also, send us an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com.
Gmail.
We'll say it's Lost Podcast at
gmail.com.
Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JayandJackGroup. And much, much more over at jayandjacktv.com for Jay and Jack Plus, only $2.99 a month, and 10 days left on our 9th anniversary penny promotion. So check that out. Get your friends or even more involved. I listen to shows like Married Man Show, Jay and Jack TV, Survivor with Jay and Jack, and Sports Talk with Three Super Guys, and Walking Dead with Three Super Guys over at jayandjacktv.com. All right, guys, that is it for this week's episode. We'll see you next.
I've been scanning the Scott and Steve thing. It does look like they do have a few episodes on their old website.
Okay.
On MP3 files. Orientation, Everybody Hates Hugo, Get Lost and Found. I don't know if it's an episode.
Can you click on them?
I haven't clicked on them. Let's see. Want me to click on it real quick?
It could be dead links.
It'd be dead links. Let's do Everybody Hates Hugo. And sorry, it's a dead air. I mean, it's a dead link.
Yep, I had a feeling.
Sorry, I did the best I could.
Yeah, you tried. That's what
I tried. I gave it the call. I didn't give up. I could have taken the easy way and said, yeah, you know, you can find them yourself.
All right, so we'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.